They're the framework that shapes our future. They are what we repeatedly do. And what we repeatedly do creates who we are and shapes us for the future.
This is Straight Talk.
Welcome to Straight Talk. This is Joshua Halleck with Pastor Mark Job, Senior Pastor at New Life Community Church, all over the city for the good of the city here in Chicago. Pastor Mark, thank you for this message, The Power of Habits. You're taking us to Jesus' teaching in Matthew 6. And, you know, there's something compounding about developing habits in our life, something necessary for spiritual success and living out what God's called us to live. And Jesus really lays that out for us.
Yeah, someone once said that habits are the architecture of life. They're like your bone structure that you hang the flesh and everything else on. If you don't have the right habits, then you will actually lead the course of your life in the wrong direction.
Yeah.
And Jesus talks about three compelling habits in Matthew chapter 6. He talks about giving, praying, and fasting. They may seem unrelated, but they are deeply, deeply connected because they have to deal with our money, our pride, and our food.
And do you find, as a pastor, people may be a little surprised that these are things that Jesus expects to be a habit in your life?
Yeah, Jesus doesn't say, if you give, or if you pray, or if you fast. He says, when you give, when you pray, when you fast. His assumption is if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, you're going to be giving, and you're going to be praying, and you're going to be fasting. And I want to say in the area of fasting, by the way, I think that's a lost habit. We at New Life Community Church have determined at the beginning of every year to do 3 weeks of fasting and prayer corporately. And I tell you, Joshua, that is a hard time, especially in Chicago winter where your body's saying, hey, give me some fuel to keep warm. But we've discovered that it is such a powerful time to develop the habit of fasting and prayer along with the habit of giving.
Yeah, that's powerful. And we've seen God do incredible things through those seasons.
Incredible.
Stories every single year. Thank you, Pastor Mark. Well, today's message is in Matthew chapter 8. It's called The Power of Habits. This is the first half. And we're praying that you would be encouraged and inspired and that the Spirit of God would lead you into something that would take you to the next level. Let's go to the message now.
I want you to take your Bibles today, and I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 6. I want to talk to you about the three power habits. You know, I'm a big goal guy. I have been for years. I like to set goals. I like to challenge myself mentally, physically, spiritually. And at the beginning of every year, at the end of a year, like a lot of people, you want to tweak things a little bit. How many of you set some resolutions this year? You set some things I want to do different in 2018. Go ahead, raise your hand. You said some things I want to do different. Some of you may be here in church today because you determined I want to do it different. You're like, hey, what's up with my spiritual life? I want to do it. I want to get on track, but wow, it's so hard to get out of bed on Sunday morning. And so you're here today. You made a good choice to be here today. And I was thinking, I have a couple things. I have my bigger goals, but then I have a little some tweaks that I like to do in my own habits. For example, these are small things, but they're little tweaks. Last year, I started doing this, a little tweak in my vocabulary. People would say, so how you doing lately? And I found that sometimes my first response was, good, just really busy. And I thought, okay, so life is busy. Do I really want to be defined by busyness? No. So I decided, I'm not going to say I'm busy. I am, but I'm not going to say it. I prefer to say, yeah, doing good, life is full. How about, doesn't that sound better than, hey, I'm just busy? So I've just determined, it's a little lingual thing, but I'm changing it to know. Yeah, how you doing today? Great, life is full. It sounds better than busy. In my own mind, it's like I'm changing the way I'm approaching things. How many of you made any kind of resolutions around your cell phone, your mobile phone, your smartphone? Anybody? Well, I did. So, man, you guys aren't making no resolutions. You're looking at me like, nope, not me, Pastor. So I did this a couple years ago, but I stopped taking notes in meetings on my phone, and I started going the old-fashioned way and just taking notes on a piece of paper. Some of you remember what a pen and paper are? You know, the thing that puts ink out on a piece of paper. You know why? Because I realized that if I take notes and I'm in a meeting and I take notes on my phone, then it kind of looks like I'm texting, first of all. And secondly, I'm sure tempted to check my text and my emails while I'm taking notes, and it's a distraction, and I don't want to be distracted. In fact, I determined, one of the determinations I made, and my wife encouraged me in this determination, was that put the phone away when you're sitting down to talk to someone, when you're having breakfast, hide the phone. You know, they tell us that even a phone present on the table diminishes the quality of your conversation by 30%. How many of you have a spouse that you feel like the phone's the mistress? You're like, get that thing away. Put it away. And so, you know, I want to be fully present when I'm present. How about it? And so there's a lot of little habits that we have to turn around and change. But I want to tell you something about habits. Habits are the architects of life. They're the framework that shapes our future. They are what we repeatedly do. And what we repeatedly do creates who we are and shapes us for the future. So I want to make sure that you are embracing habits that you're going to say, I'm really happy that I embrace these habits. So Matthew chapter 6 talks about three habits. I believe that our future is deeply shaped by the seeds that you repeatedly sow today through the habits that define you. What you repeatedly do now will shape who you are a year from now or 2 years from now. You want to change who you are a year or 2 years from now? Then start embracing different habits today. Behavioral habits. Habits that are different than what you're doing yesterday or last year. I run into people that want to change, but they embrace the fallacy. If you always do what you've always done, you'll always get what you've always gotten. You want a different result, but you don't want to change the habits. Yeah, you want to be in healthy, but you don't want to change what gets you healthy. You want to be spiritually strong, but you don't want to embrace habits that make you spiritually strong. You want a better marriage, but you don't want to change the habits that lead to a better marriage. You see, you can't get a different result unless you put in a different input. Hello, am I talking to anybody here today? So Jesus is speaking to his disciples in Matthew chapter 6. And Matthew chapter 6 is really it's a passage that's known more than anything for a prayer that you and I learned to pray when we were young, probably. We've learned to call it the Our Father. And so Matthew chapter 6 has the Our Father. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You know it, right? And it's found in Matthew chapter 6. But what you may not know about Matthew chapter 6 is that Matthew chapter 6 gives us three habits that Jesus talks specifically about. It's the habit of giving, praying, and fasting. The power trio. If you have ever watched a triathlon, there are three disciplines that you need to embrace if you're going to win a triathlon. You have to learn to swim well, you have to learn to cycle well, and you have to learn to run. They call it a triathlon because there's three disciplines that you embrace, and if you're going to win a triathlon, you need to be good at swimming, cycling, and running. And you need to practice in those areas. You need to build up your stamina in those areas, your endurance in those areas, all three of those to win a triathlon. I believe that Jesus is giving us in this passage the three disciplines necessary to be able to have victory in our spiritual life. If you put these three disciplines into practice now, they will have an incredible effect on your life in the future. If you begin to grasp these disciplines now, in fact, the word reward is used seven times in this passage. And what God is saying, I will reward you. There will be a reward if you put these three habits into practice. You need to learn them, practice them, become disciplined at them, because if you do, there is reward that's coming. And so I want to begin reading in verse 1 of Matthew chapter 6. It says, be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. Verse 2. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets to be honored by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their own reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they pray standing in the synagogues on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly I tell you that they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Move down to verse 16. And when you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show others they are fasting. Truly I tell you, they will receive their reward in full. But when you fast, put on the oil on your head, wash your face, so that it is not obvious to others that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is seen. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. If you're taking notes, I want you to jot this down. I'm talking about the power trio. Number one, God expects the habits of giving, praying, and fasting.
We'll be right back with Pastor Mark Job in a moment. You are listening to a Straight Talk message entitled The Power of Habits. It's from our new series called Fully Devoted. And after the broadcast, I'll tell you more about how you can get a free copy of this message, as well as give you information regarding Pastor Mark and his ministry at New Life Community Church in Chicago. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Mark and his message called The Power of Habits.
Verse 2, it says, and when you give. Verse 5, it says, and when you pray. Verse 16, it says, and when you fast. Notice what's absent from this passage. The word if you give, if you pray, if you fast. In other words, God is not saying that these are options. God is saying that this is an expectation of those that follow him. That the expectation of a normal Christian, a follower of Jesus, is that you will have these disciplines ingrained into your spirit, in your soul, so that when you do them, you will also reap the reward of doing them. There's an expectation that these will be a part of what we do. Are they commanded? They're expected. And I could go through each one of them and spend a lot of time on them, but here's what I've noticed about these three habits. These three habits are difficult because they require sacrifice. Giving affects our money. Praying affects our time. Fasting affects our food. Don't mess with our money, our time, and our food, because we're possessive about them. Some of you, especially about your food. Your husband reaches over and says, can I just try one of those? I didn't get fries from Rickle Benny's, but I like them. Can I try a fry? And he goes to pick up one of your fries. You slap his hand. Hey, those are my fries. Don't mess with my food. How many of you get in arguments over that? If you wanted fries, you should have ordered fries. Stop eating my fries. If you want them, order them. Don't touch mine. The problem with these habits is they're difficult habits because they take something from us, something that's hard to give. It's hard to release money and give when we don't have to. We release to what is necessary, but not what we don't have to. It's hard to give of our time because it's a precious commodity. And it's difficult to give up food because we want it, we like it. All of these three things sustain us: money, time, and food. And so Jesus taps in to the habits that affect basically the currency of our life. Our life is made up of money. It's made up of possessions. It's made up of what we eat as well. Those are basics of life. And Jesus says, if you're going to be a follower of mine, the expectation that I have of you is that you will learn some discipline, some habits that cause you to give away or release in areas that are very difficult for us to release in. They hit at the core. And so he tells us about food. He tells us, he starts with giving and challenges us in this area. And there's so many passages of scripture that talk about this. Can I tell you something about this? This passage, when it talks about these three habits in this short passage, he uses the word reward seven times. Now here's the thing about discipline and habits. I don't always enjoy the habit I'm engaging in, but I engage in the habit when I know that the reward is great and it's worth engaging in. Hello, anybody with me? Most habits that we engage in are difficult. And so you go to school and you do your homework and the finals and you pay for college because you're looking for a degree. And you're getting a degree because you believe it'll open up opportunities. And so you don't necessarily do the homework because you enjoy doing the homework. You do the homework because you know there's a reward that's at the other end of the homework. And so you do it. And some of you get up at 6 o'clock in the morning and you're on the Stairmasters at Planet Fitness. And you don't enjoy getting up at 5:30 in the morning. You don't enjoy necessarily getting in the cold, driving to the fitness center. You don't enjoy sweating on the Stairmaster. You don't like the pain of it. Sometimes you ask yourself, why do I do it? But you do it because you know that there's a reward that's coming. You're going to fit into that outfit when summer comes. Hello. So there's a reward that's on its way. And so you endure the discipline because of the reward. That's how life is. That's how Christianity is. The Bible talks a lot about the reward that's coming. And by the way, for us, it's not only the eternal reward, but also the benefits that we reap in this life as well. There are certain things that we do now based simply on the promises of God that we know that God says, I will reward it. And so these three spiritual disciplines are based in the fact that God says, I will reward it. And so we're saying it goes contrary to my nature to believe that giving up food and fasting has a reward because it's difficult. But I will do it, God, because in your word you say that you will honor it. It goes against my nature to get on my knees and pray in humility before the God of the universe, declaring that I have no power over certain elements in my life. And I want to get up and work and change them, but I realize that I need the power of God, the strength of God, the hand of God, the move of God to be in my life, because without his power, I can't do so. So I get on my knees in humility. I pray in Jesus' name with passion, passionately praying for those things that only God can change, believing in faith that God who is in heaven hears, that he's given access through his son Jesus, that his Holy Spirit empowers me, and knowing that my words are not bouncing on the ceiling and bouncing back, that I'm not having a monologue with myself, that I'm not just dialoguing alone, but that the God of the universe hears what I say. The foolishness, the craziness of prayer. And maybe your flesh has told you that sometimes. You're just praying, and you wake up and say, God, are you hearing me? Am I just talking to myself? But faith in the Word of God says, no, there's a power that's greater than you that's in this room that's there. The Word says, pray. It goes contrary to our nature to give, to release. They've done secular studies unrelated to spirituality and discovered that people that give in philanthropic ways, that give outside, that give to the needy, that give to good causes, that give beyond themselves, that give to things that they can't, that's not for themselves, that they end up being happier and more successful. It goes contrary to what we would think. We take, we keep, we protect, we get all it for ourselves. But no, even secular studies show that. Why? Because it's a spiritual principle. The people of God, the more they give, they learn to be givers and releasers. They learn that they are stewards of what God has. There's a powerful principle in this. There's so many scriptures I could give you. I don't have time really, but Luke chapter 6, verse 38 says, give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, you will be poured into your lap, for with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. In other words, what God is saying is that when you give, when you release, God will fill you up so that you have more to give. If you do not release, if you do not give, if you hoard, if you keep, if you're not generous, what happens is it dries up. Powerful principle. I believe the people of God should be the most generous people in the world. I believe that not just on offering time at Sunday morning, but I believe there should be a generosity about our lives. A generosity that flows from us. Why? Because God has been generous with us. I believe this church is here because we decided years ago when we were just a real small little church struggling financially with very little resources, but we determined we may have needs, but we refuse to be needy. We will give and we will help even though there's all kinds of needs that we have in our own little building, our own stuff, because we refuse to be needy. We refuse to be needy. When it comes to praying, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18 says, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert. Always keep on praying for all the Lord's people and pray on all occasions. We're commanded, exhorted, challenged. Pray. 1 Thessalonians says, pray without ceasing. This is a dialogue with God. Acknowledging our weaknesses before God and knowing that there's a God that's greater than us that can only do what we have no power to do. That's prayer. 1 Thessalonians 5 says, rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will in Christ Jesus. And then fasting. Over and over in Scripture, you'll see this neglected discipline, this ancient discipline of fasting. To a large extent, it's been lost in the 21st century church. It's seldom practiced, ignored, not valued. Why? It's hard. It's difficult. It's challenging. Our fasting has, for some of you came from traditions, you say, well, I always fasted leading up to Easter. But really what that meant is that on Fridays you didn't eat meat. And you overstuffed yourself on fish. You say, well, Pastor, I fasted. No, you didn't fast. You just changed diets. That's not a fast. That's a switch out of diets. Fasting is the abstinence from food or drink for a specific purpose with the intent of pressing in to seek after God. That's fasting. Jesus did it before he started his ministry, 40 days of fasting. Moses did it. It's found throughout all the Old Testament, all the New Testament, this emphasis on fasting, not as penance, not to gain merit before God because we're trying to pay for our sins. That's heresy. Our sins have been paid for in full on the cross of Calvary through Jesus Christ. We don't fast to get rid of our sins. That's been paid for. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. We fast to press in and seek after God so that our physical hunger will remind us of our spiritual drive to seek after God. That's why we fast and pray.
This concludes the first half of Pastor Mark's message called The Power of Habits, which is from our series called Fully Devoted. Join us again on the next Straight Talk for the second half of this message. And as I mentioned earlier, Straight Talk Radio is a ministry of Pastor Mark, and if you would like a copy of this message or the entire series, you can download it for free with our Straight Talk app. You can find it at PastorMarkJobe.com. That's PastorMarkJobe, J-O-B-E.com. There you will also find over 200 messages from Pastor Mark and a Bible app that will help you with your spiritual walk. Before you go, we invite you to visit us at our Midway location where you can hear Pastor Mark in person. It's 5101 South Keeler in Chicago near Midway Airport. If you're on the train, it's the Orange Line at the Pulaski stop. Join us at 9:30 or 11:30 a.m. Thank you so much for listening, and on behalf of Pastor Mark, myself, and the entire Straight Talk team, have a great evening. God bless.